Listen, old man, you don't want to fuck with me.
Did you hear me? I said get off my lawn now.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. I'm from Boston, and with
Hurry
me
up, Sonny.
This week and every other week is...
Get off my lawn!
Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada. Jesus, I forgot where I was.
And Chris from Dallas, Texas.
It's that Alzheimer's setting in.
Tell you.
So they're all talking like old men because this episode is old ales.
Excellent.
No offense to our older listening audience.
Yeah.
Of course.
Get off my lawn! We're just a bunch of whippersnappers. Yeah, you young whippersnappers with your IPAs. With your hoppy beers. Are you West Coast get crazy California hippies?
On with the show.
All right, on with the show. So, our show, same rundown as usual. We do our fermentation conversation, and this week it is North Coast Brewing Company's Old Stock Ale.
Yeah.
And we'll run down, do little hop topics to go with our beers. Always nice to have a little news with your brews.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go on to our tasting flight.
Right.
And Toby, what are you going to try this week?
This week I am trying Eel River's Triple Exaltation.
Ooh. Sounds extra
exalted.
I am exalted.
How about you, Chris?
I am going to be drinking Rahr and Sons Winter Warmer.
Mm.
It's a London old ale.
Whoa.
Toasty.
Out of Fort Worth, Texas.
Must be really old then.
Yeah. Because you know how old Rahr and Sons is.
How mm-hmm. old London is.
Rahr and Sons.
Well, I'm going to try Southern Tiers Brewery's Old Man Winter Ale. And that nice. Is from Southern Tier Brewing Company out of Lakewood, New York.
Yeah.
Coolness.
Old ales. I can't wait to try these. I can talk a little bit about the style. I'll wait till the fermentation conversation to get into that. So after the tweet of the week and backwash, then last call, and then that's it. Then the show's over. But right now the show is just getting started, so let's go drink some beer.
Yeah.
Wait.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, this is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
What is this conversation about fermentation? What all is that hooey racket you're playing with the... Fermentation conversation, yeah. Turn that off. It's too loud.
That's your racket.
All right, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
I don't think it will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I want to drink some beer, so I think that's enough of that.
All right, so if you want to drink some beer, let's talk about this beer here. First, we wanted to talk a little bit about the style of the old ale. It's basically an old English style. It some of the characteristics, it should be kind of low in carbonation. It should have more of kind of a sherry type character to it. Mm. You have some of those darker
sherry,
fruits.
Sherry, baby.
But this one in particular that we're going to try is from North Coast Brewing Company out of Fort Bragg, California. And the ABV on this beer, the one I'm trying, the 08, is 12.5% ABV. I believe you guys have the 09.
Yes.
Is that correct? No?
You have the 08 as well? As well.
Wow.
Okay. Well, Toby has the 09, which is only 11.5% ABV.
Loser! I'm behind in the times, I guess.
Yeah. Rate Beer rates this beer a 98 out of 100. They don't specify between the years. Beer does?
Yes. Beer does.
We must have missed it.
Yeah, you missed a little bit of the audio. People missing something in the translation.
Because all I hear was, beer rates this.
You're an audio dropout.
Turn up your hearing aid! Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Allstrom Brothers also rate this an A-. Let's crack them open, shall we?
We shall.
Oh, we shall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so pretty. It's an interesting color. It's kind of a...
It's fairly copper in color, which I was expecting it to be a little bit darker.
Yeah.
Than it
is. Kind of cloudy.
Yeah, mine's very cloudy.
Mine's a little bit. I have about half a finger to a finger of head.
Yeah, about a half a finger. Fizzy. Dissipating.
How much?
Yeah, it's almost gone.
Mine's hanging out a little bit. There's some good lacing going on.
Whoa.
On the nose, I get the alcohol right off.
Yeah. You can say it, Chris. Go ahead.
I didn't want to. I held back.
There's some alcohol. Fruitiness to it, too. Kind of a malty fruitiness.
It's like a big malty, big malty raisin.
Yeah.
Big bready malty raisin.
Yeah, I see like maybe the breadiness, too.
Or some prune.
Yeah. Those dark fruits, as we like to call them.
Yes.
There's also something else in there. Kind of a, there might be a spice in there.
Yeah.
Lingering in the background somewhere.
Some like caramel or some molasses or something in there. Mm. I'm going to take a sip.
You know, like a little bit of like licorice, maybe, Toby, and that's where you're getting that sort of spiciness.
Just before I took a sip, I got a little whiff of vanilla.
But yeah, I was thinking vanilla too.
Big malt character in this beer. And some alcohol warming for sure.
It feels more carbonated than it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very fizzy mouthfeel. Very carbonated.
There's some of that spiciness, though, that what Toby was talking about, that comes up in the taste.
Dry finish. That ends with that kind of that sour apple skin finish.
Yeah. The alcohol
and
the bitterness, I don't know, it's a...
I get lots of alcohol.
Yeah.
But it seems to be kind of smoother than I would expect it to be. For having a high alcohol, I don't know if it's like what good because there's so much malt character. If it's balancing out, or if there's that little bit of sweetness from the fruit or the spices, I don't know what it is. But it's got a pretty full mouthfeel.
Is there peach? You guys get peach in the aftertaste? There's some sort of other fruit in there. It's like a peach or... Yeah.
Mm. I don't know. There's lots of different
and
aromas.
I don't get as much dark fruit in the taste as I got on the nose. And yeah, Toby, the peach in the background I'm getting...
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Every time I take a sip, I get a nice whiff of the spiciness. And it's... good.
So what have you guys heard about aging these? Because I know that they usually age them for about a year before they bottle them, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they actually aged this before Or, I mean, I'm sure they did age it. I don't know how long they've aged this beer. And I know that they, for the most part, I hear that they age pretty well. When I went to go pick this up, they had some older ales from some English breweries, and they had like
the elder, you know, a 2000.
They even had as old as a 95, which, from what I was reading, the old ales don't really age for that long in general. Yeah, so,
5 years I heard is the max.
Yeah,
you want to go
right on North Coast's website, which is northcoastbrewing.com. I actually have like a little quote from somebody who had picked up a bottle sort of kicking around the house from 2001 that they had opened up and were amazed at how good it was.
Yeah.
I can see this. I mean, it's pretty mellow as it is, but I could see it actually aging well, you know.
It needs to warm up for one for me.
Yeah, I need mine to warm
really
up
get
too.
More out of it. It's a sipper.
Yeah, I agree.
There is some good spiciness in there too, which is nice. I could see this being great in the wintertime. Good winter selection.
As far as food goes, I'm not really into the cheese thing, but I'm pretty sure this would pair really well with some like really buttery cheeses.
I could see cheese and salami and stuff like that. Yeah. A meat and cheese plate I think would go nicely. Yeah.
I think if you're going to do a cheese with this, it would have to be a stronger cheese. It would have to be something along the lines of a really sharp cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was thinking more along the lines just something really smooth and buttery, just to kind of, you know, offset the bold, spicy, high alcohol, you know?
Yeah. But it would still, it could be buttery, but it would still have to have a pronounced flavor, because if you... Like something like a brie would be really good, because brie is really buttery, but it still has a pronounced flavor because you still need something that's going to cut through that alcohol.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. North Coast Brewery, Old Stock Ale.
Tasty.
2009 for me.
2008.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Hop Topics.
All right. First up this week for our hot topic is Toby. What do you got for us?
Well, I wanted to talk about the Microbrew Festival 2010 that's happening in Eugene, Oregon, the weekend of February 12th. So if you find yourself in the Eugene, Oregon area, check it out. It's being put on by KLCC 89.7, which is the NPR of Eugene, Oregon. Basically, it's the Microbrew Festival. They're going to feature 50 breweries serving more than 100 beers. It's $12 admission, and that includes a souvenir glass, and then your beer tastes are $1 each. And
that's
those
a
are.
Good deal.
Well, I believe they're 3 ounce. Servings. On Friday, they're going to have some live music. On Friday, it's going to be Leroy Bell and his Only Friends, starting at 7:30. And then on Saturday, we've got the Ty Curtis Band. And some of the breweries that are going to be there. 21st Amendment, which is doing a collaboration with Stone. Abita will be there. Anderson Valley. Deschutes, Bridgeport, Boston Beer, and Full Sail. Let's see, Laughing Dog, Leffy from Belgium is going to be there. Lost Coast, McTarnahan's, Oregon Trail, Rogue, our good friends Rogue, Sierra Nevada, of course.
Dude.
And Stone.
Your tasting flight for this week.
That's right.
Eel River.
Oh, Eel River's going to be there too. I went right by it.
You sure did.
So, yeah, check it out. If you're in Eugene on February 12th and 13th, it's the Microbrew Festival 2010. Oh, you can find out more information at klcc.org. Just look at their upcoming events calendar.
Wait. Cool. Thank you, Toby.
Mm.
Chris, what do you got for us this week?
I'm going to do a little article here that's sort of a reflection back on the previous year.
Reflective articles.
This is IRI New Belgium Brewing is the big winner of 2009. So IRI is the Information Resources Inc.
Oh, I thought it was some other kind of IM speak that I didn't know.
No.
Jeez.
And if you're Rastafarian, it's I and I.
They scan data measuring sales across food, drug, and convenience channels, showing huge gains from last year for the brewery. So basically what they do is they it's kind of strange how they do it. It's not just based on total sales, but it's a large sample and a good indicator of how a brewery brands measure up with others. So and apparently the larger breweries really pay attention to these figures.
Really? Interesting.
The data that was collected is year to date through 11/29/09, so it's not quite a full year. But so New Belgium was the big winner over the course of the year, which, you know, anybody that's been in the craft beer scene or whatever has noticed that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Fat Tire over the last couple of years has made a huge inroad into the market.
Yeah. We still don't get it here in New England, and I think that's ridiculous because it's big everywhere else.
That's strange. their case sales increased 26% over the prior year.
Wow.
With the total sales dollars being just shy of $50 million. Whoa. The Fat Tire beer is the third ranked craft brand in the U.S. behind, you guys know what the other two are?
Boston Lager?
Anyone?
Sam Adams Boston Lager is number one.
Sierra
Nevada. And Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is number two. And then coming in a close third is Fat Tire from New Belgium.
It's funny because out here, if you go to a liquor store or something, you ask them about New Belgium, you got to ask them about, you know, the Fat Tire guys. It's don't even have it in their system as New Belgium. They have it in their system as Fat Tire.
They have it as Fat Tire, yeah. It's almost like they think Fat Tire is the brewery. Yeah.
Well, the Fat Tire brand makes up over 50% of their total sales.
Wow. Yeah.
Over 50%. And 40 of that is on premises, which,
damn.
When they say that, I think it just means in state. So the majority of their sales are still happening in Colorado.
Huh.
About 40% of their sales.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But the article is interesting because it goes through and it talks about some of the other big winners. Sierra Nevada's seasonals picked up 23%. Alaskan seasonals picked up 21%. Magic Hat number 9, 22%, which I can see that because I hadn't really heard much about Magic Hat except through you, Mike, before this year.
Yeah.
It also talks about the case sales of Belgian style wit beers grew the most at 58%, putting it in the top 20.
Like Blue Moon.
Yep. Blue Moon's working really well, and it's good because it's a kind of a gateway beer to the craft sector.
Yeah. I mean, it's wheat, you know, like wheat beers with the citrus kind of with it. I mean, it's a very palatable style, you know?
Yep. And we will be covering a beer from them here in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The big losers overall last year, Sam Adams Light.
A loser.
Yeah, light ales in general saw a huge dip. Red Hook's ESB dropped quite a bit.
Wow.
And brown ales saw a big hit as well.
That's interesting.
And see, I like ESBs and browns. I think they're underrated styles.
Yeah.
Oh, I love browns. That's my first homebrew is a brown ale.
Yeah. It's interesting because they talk about breweries being aware of the shift away from the brown ales and the ESBs. Like Deschutes discontinued their Buzzsaw Brown. And then Terrapin Brewery actually changed the name of their India-style brown ale to the Hop Karma Brown IPA.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
So they respond to those kind of things. But anyway, that's just a kind of a market info for what's happened over the last year and you know, overall. You know, the craft beer industry as a whole is still growing market share, whereas the beer industry in and of itself may be shrinking slightly, but you know, as we all know, that's for the better in the long run.
Yeah.
The more shelf space that gets dedicated to craft beers, the better.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
That's right.
Amen, brother. Amen.
What about you, Mike?
Cool. Well, my hot topic this week actually comes from Twitter, and I wish I could give credit where credit's due. I don't remember where I got this from or who I got this from, but the title of this is What's Brewing in Open Source? And this article is about open source software that has to do with brewing and brew recipes. Like, for instance, there's Brewsta. Brewsta, which lets you create and maintain beer recipes. It's written in Python, and you know, a lot of this stuff is over my head technically as well. So if anybody knows what open source is, then you kind of know what I'm talking about. If you don't, maybe we'll do something a little different and have the beer jargon guy explain open source.
Oh, really?
There we go.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is open source. Open source is an approach to the design, development, and distribution of free computer software, offering practical accessibility to a software's source code.
So I hope that clears that up. So anyway, there's a bunch
the
of these...
The technical beer jargon guy.
Yeah. The guy does everything. He's amazing.
As long as it relates to beer somehow.
Yes. And that's
kind of why... Thank you for calling Beer Coaster's technical support. This is beer jargon guy. Can I help you?
Oh, man. For a pint, press one. So anyway, there's all these different... software. Sorry. And I haven't had the time to kind of play around and look at the software. I did click on one to kind of check it out. It looks kind of cool. And it's all, you know, free downloads for the software. They're kind of like to create, maintain beer recipes like I was talking about. There's one called Brew Target, which is similar to the Brewsta thing that I was talking about. It does basically the same thing. There's
brew. You know who might really benefit from one of these types of systems?
Who?
Us? Our new brewmaster.
Oh, we have a new brewmaster.
Our new head brewmaster, Beer Coaster Toby.
Oh, yes.
He's doing the brew now, huh?
This week's edition of the Beer Coasters podcast brought to you by Brewmaster Toby. So
Toby, I guess you could talk a little bit about your first batch.
Yes,
this week.
Yeah, it's right now. It's bubbling and churning as we speak. The little yeasties are at work right now.
We should have all done this at the same time, bastard.
Yeah, well,
jump the gun.
Yeah, I mean it's Gina and I, of course. You know, it's the two of us, big time. You know, Gina. She's had a lot of input and hands-on
and
work.
She's
yesterday.
Way smarter than you, so yeah. Obviously.
Exactly. So if it comes out bad, it's all her fault. No, just kidding.
I'm thinking if it comes out bad, you screwed something up.
Yeah, probably.
You should have kept your hands off.
Yeah.
We'd love to review the brown ale.
I'll send you guys some.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Ty, how come we have no bottles yet?
Yes. We really need some bottles. You know what? Yeah, and if all you can do is keg, then you know what? You better FedEx ground a keg to us.
Yeah. So, I got an account number you can use.
So anyway, I wanted to mention about my Hop Topic. If you wanted to check out that article, it comes from a website called SourceForge. SourceForge.net. And
which is traditionally a technical computer.
Yes, it's open. It's an open source software blog, essentially, is where this is coming from. But I thought it was really kind of cool that this one was dedicated to just brewing beer, and so check it out. And I'm gonna download a couple of these, and maybe we'll try to review some of them even on upcoming episodes. We'll see.
I'm bookmarking it as we speak.
Yeah, see? Pretty cool, huh? Yep. See that? Your coaster Chris agrees.
I agree.
Do you agree that we should maybe drink some more beer?
I agree wholeheartedly.
All right, let's do that.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
West Coast.
Well, hello.
Drink it.
It's Beer Coaster Toby. This week, I'm trying Eel River Brewing Company's Triple Exaltation. It's their old ale. Exactly.
You can add some reverb to that, if you please.
If you don't know already, Eel River Brewing Company is...
If you don't know, now you know.
Toby missed the eel.
They are entirely all organic. They're actually America's first certified organic brewery, and that was back in 99. And since then, they've been winning awards. 2004, they got a gold at the... Oh, since 2004, they've been winning awards. They got a gold at the 2006 LA County Fair, a gold and silver at the 2006 GABF, and a gold at the 2009 LA International Beer Competition. So, as I said, it's Eel River Brewing Company. They're out of Fortuna, California, or as the bottle says, Scotia, California. But the website, I think, says Fortuna. And I've been there, by the way. I just want to let you guys know I've actually been to the brewing company.
Of course you have.
Story.
And you can find them at eelriverbrewing.com. I've also swam in the Eel River. I think I've said that before on the show. So this is an old ale. It's 9.7%, so it's a little bit lower than the North Coast we just had. The IBUs are around 100. So about 100 IBUs.
Okay.
Rate Beer gave this 92 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B+, and the Alston Brothers have not tried it.
Bastards.
Big surprise.
So it pours out kind of a dark amber color.
It's kind of
rich. Nice, and it's very clear, unlike the North Coast. Like, yeah, dark amber, copper color. I got about a finger of off-white frothy head. Nice and carbonated. Nice bubbles in there. Let me whiff.
Whiff it.
Ooh.
Whiff it good.
Immediately I get...
Ooh, look at that. Pulling out the big words for this episode.
Immediately?
Real kind of... A stinky malt character.
Oh, stinky. That's what you mean. Big words.
Yeah, I went from immediately to stinky.
I've known a few people like that.
Yeah.
That have been immediately stinky.
I can also pick up
I can also pick up some alcohol.
Hey, honey,
but mostly it's that kind of.
Pick up some alcohol.
So, but mostly it's that kind of musty maltiness. Maybe some raisins.
Stinky, musty raisins.
Some kind of spicy raisins. Okay, taking a sip.
In under 4 minutes. Swishing it around.
Fairly thin body. That kind of... That
supermodel-ish.
Really,
yeah. That's how they build them in
supermodel-ish,
Hollywood.
Supermodel-ish, thin body. This is actually pretty good. It's... There's kind of a fruity finish, like a dry fruity finish, but the body overall is pretty thin, fairly drinkable.
It's a new slogan for the t-shirt. Body's pretty thin.
A little bit of carbonation on the tongue. But yeah, that kind of musty maltiness. Very present. Very dry, bitter finish, yeah. Pairing this with something. Ooh, I don't know. This is a tough one.
You can do it.
Hot dogs.
Oh.
No? Corn dogs?
No. Not corn dogs, sure. Corn dog go good with anything, though.
True.
That one's from Mr. Summers. Potatoes au gratin was like the first thing that came to mind.
Gratin.
So maybe something kind of cheesy and
pairing it with a side dish.
Potato-y.
Like some potatoes au gratin and some asparagus. Throw in a steak if you want, or maybe a pork chop.
There you go.
I'd say pork chops. Yeah, pork chops.
Pork chops, asparagus, and potatoes au gratin.
Yeah.
A fine choice.
So check it out. Eel River Brewing Company's Triple X Exaltation Certified Organic Old Ale. Yachts!
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Oh, Mr. Chris! Beer Coaster Chris, what are you drinking?
Hello, and welcome to my segment, bitches.
Hey, what's
so
that
my
language,
beer this week?
Whippersnapper?
For my beer this week, I am drinking the Rahr and Sons Winter Warmer.
Who you say?
A special holiday ale from Rahr and Sons Brewery out of Fort Worth, Texas.
Rahr.
website is rahrbrewery.com. It's R-A-H-R.
And if you're in San Francisco, it's rawr.
Rawr. Not so much. This beer has an ABV of 8.5%, IBUs of 43. Oh. Ingredients used, they use for the malts a 2-row, Crystal 40, Care Munich 3, and chocolate malts.
Crystal 40, yeah.
The hops they use. The hops, they use two different kinds, the Magnum and the East Kent Goldings. Rate Beer gives it a 72 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users give it a B. Alstom Brothers, not so much. Sorry. So
big letdown.
I'm going to go ahead and crack it.
You will go ahead.
I'll go ahead and crack it.
Rahr and Sons.
Ooh. Glug, glug, bitches.
Glug, glug, bitches.
So, definitely a Here's contrast the end of our show. To the old stock ale. This is a dark brown, almost black, no head. I mean, it was there for about a split second, about half a finger. And it's pretty much dissipated.
Oh, come on. There's
like
at least
glass,
a fingernail's worth of head right now. Holy shit, there really is no head. That was the quickest dissipating head I've ever seen in my entire life.
There's still a slight, slight film on there.
That's it.
I get on the nose, I get those chocolate malts mostly coming through.
Malt.
That dark fruit. A little bit of spice character. We were talking about in the old stock, at least I said something about the sort of licorice or anise flavor.
Anise.
Not flavor, but scent.
I thought it was anise.
Anise.
No, that's something else entirely, and it smells completely different.
You almost made me spill my beer.
Huh. That would suck.
Yes, it would.
Well, at least you didn't.
No. That was so dumb.
God.
Gee, come on.
There's not a whole lot of aroma to it. There's. Yeah. Let's find out what the taste is like, though.
Let's.
Let's do that.
Let's. Rawr.
Weird. I get like a peppery flavor. Mm. On the back of the throat, really quickly, which I wasn't expecting.
Ooh, not immediately, but really quickly.
I'm not as advanced as you are.
At least it wasn't right off the bat.
Definitely.
There you go. Yeah, so there's a few spices in here that would sort of lend to that winter warmer description. Right.
Beyond pepper? Like what else? Like are you getting like cinnamon and that kind of thing?
Yeah, a little bit of cinnamon, you know, so those holiday spices.
Mm.
That's cool, man.
Maybe a little nutmeg.
An old ale winter warmer.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. The spices.
Well, we were talking about that before. I think they're pretty close in styles.
It's like one of those things that
up
I think
there
that
with
used
the barley
to be
wines
a...
Yeah,
very specific style at one point, and it's kind of mutated into, I guess, what it is now, where it could be a traditional old English ale, it could be a winter warmer, it could be a strong ale. Even some people, I think, have got it mixed up with barley wines because so many of the barley wines have old in the title, you know? I think it's been a little misconstrued.
So if I was going to pair this with something, I think actually did pair this with something last night. I had we made a pot roast, and went really well with that. You know, some good carrots and celery and lots of spices in a really good pot roast.
Mm.
That's what I would pair this with.
Pot roast.
Some pot
sweet.
Roast.
Yummy.
So that's it. That's my review of the Winter Warmer from Rahr & Sons Brewery. Check them out at rahrbrewery.com. And
Rahr.
Yeah.
Rahr.
Mike, you ready to drink?
Hell yes. I've been waiting a long time. Much longer than it seems.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Mikey! Oh, you gotta go to the bathroom!
Already went. I just go on my pants now. It's much more convenient.
Nice.
You got those Depends on, I see.
This week's edition of the Beer Coasters Podcast, sponsored by Depends. Okay, so it's my turn to drink some beer, and the beer I'm gonna drink is Southern
How
Tears
awesome is
Old Man Winter Ale. This is
the
from Southern
old
Tier
man
Brewery
winter.
Out of Lakewood, New York. Their website doesn't have crap on it. It's got no history of the brewery.
It's because I'm an old man.
About nothing.
I don't know nothing about these tubes. Where are all these tubes?
All right, so the ABV on this beer is 7.2.
Ah,
at least that's
weak.
What it
says, yes, it's very low for an old ale. Not low for beer, but low for an old ale.
Bitches!
Rate Beer rates this an 88 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B+. And the Alstrom Brothers...
So Mike is presenting us with the female perspective this week.
Oh, I see. And the Alstrom Brothers rate this a B+.
Chris, you're trying real hard for that backwash, I can see.
Yeah. I'm going to crack this open while they keep cracking jokes.
Right. Although, it would be pretty disappointing if I got backwash about females not being able to handle alcohol, but I didn't get any backwash when I talked about Jews being loaded in train cars. Yeah,
that's true. But hey, it's a mad world.
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
That's right. Sorry. Okay. So, it's very copper-y. Copper-ish.
Just to clarify, I'm not advocating Jews being loaded into train cars.
I understand. I totally understand. I'm getting a very
bright citrus. He's a huge Steven Spielberg fan.
Yeah. All right. Whatever you guys want to talk about the beer, you let me know.
Your beer looks nice, Mike. It looks
Thank
nice.
Thank you. It's very copper. It's very clear compared to the North Coast.
Don't thank me. Thank Old Man Winter.
It's got a very bright, citrusy scent, like right off the on the nose. Definitely right off the bat.
Right off the bat nose.
Get about a finger ahead. Big bubbles. Fairly creamy head. That is.
This is the problem when you're the last one to drink. Is you get the other
everybody
two.
Everybody else is drunk by this point.
Everybody else is talking shit the whole time. You can barely get through your review.
There's actually like a weird hint, like a hint of like citrusy mintiness. There's a mintiness, which is definitely different. Mm. Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm gonna taste it.
Whoa. What was that? The recoil action.
Normally we talk about the taste right away, but the mouthfeel was not what I was expecting. It was very smooth and creamy, like a very creamy, smooth mouthfeel. But it has kind of that minty, it's really weird. It's like a minty maltiness. And it's kind of light. It has a smoothness to it, but it's kind of sweet. Doesn't have a good bitter hoppiness to it. It's very non-old ale-ish.
What's that stuff that's in Bengay, that really hot, minty... What's it called?
Menthol.
Menthol.
It's very similar. It's very similar to a menthol.
So you thought you were going to get a mouth of Bengay or something?
I could rub this on my thigh. There's not much in the bitterness category. It's a little bitter, but there's more sweetness than bitterness. This is very confusing. I didn't expect any of this.
Didn't expect a mouthful of gay.
Very thin mouthfeel. It's it's not a sipper like the other one, and I think in that aspect it gives it kind of more drinkability, but it's got a weird minty maltiness that just doesn't feel right.
It sounds minty with alcohol, like a higher alcohol content, just sounds strange.
Yeah. And that's it too. I mean the alcohol content, it most likely it's because we just had the North Coast, so the alcohol content doesn't really feel present.
Right.
For food pairing, I had some cookies, like you know, like the butter cookies, like we were talking about the, the holiday cookie assortment. But, you know, maybe, like a grasshopper, like those Girl Scout cookies, the thin mints or something.
Yeah.
Just
thin mints.
But more to take away from this mintiness to find out what the heck else is in there. Because right now, it's the only thing that's, I'm like focused on that mintiness right now. And I don't want to be, I want to be able to kind of taste beyond that. And I can't. So anyway, that's my review for Southern Tier Old Man Winter Ale.
Oh, dig nabbit.
J-Nick3 to William Torres says, "Ew, I hate that beer. Only drank it once, and it was out of, insert name here because I forgot, belly button at that party." Backwash.
Oh, that's
yummy.
We're talking about this backwash.
Where's my teeth?
All right. So our backwash segment. We got a little bit of backwash this week. And the first piece of backwash we got from Ty. Ty says, "Thanks for giving me and my home brewery some airtime."
Nice.
So everyone knows all my beers are made with all natural ingredients and no artificial colors or preservatives, and I only use real water. And then on a serious note, he says, "Do each of you coasters have a favorite hops?" He mentions Cascade, love it, in parentheses, is in most of his recipes, but he's interested in trying a favorite of ours. So he says, "Thanks again, guys, but I wanted to talk about that a little bit, what favorite hops are." And I just wanted to start by saying that, yes, I'm a fan of Cascade, but I'm also a fan of was it the Amarillo that's kind of a bigger, bolder Cascade? Is like an American version of Cascade? Something to that effect? Am I right? Yes? No?
I thought Cascade was American.
Yeah. I think Cascade is an American hop.
I thought Amarillo was like just kind of a bigger, bolder version of Cascade.
Yeah, it might be.
But what the one I wanted to mention was, I don't know if you guys remember the IPA show that we did, the Victory Hop Devil, and how I like the really dirty earthiness of that beer. And they use American whole flowers. And I'm not sure if it was the hops that made the beer that way, but I would definitely say I would try that one in front of him, the American Home Flowers, because that beer stood out to me as being a real earthy, dirty, floral hop. So that's what I wanted to pick. How about you guys?
Well, I'm a fan of the Cascade. You know, I like the citrusiness.
Yeah.
The Cascades usually have pretty good aroma as well as flavor, but... I've always been a fan of Cascade. As far as I knew, you know, I'm still learning about all the different hop strains out there. I mean, there's so many, but Cascades are pretty popular. And
is it more for aroma though than taste or bittering, or is Cascade kind of known for just aroma for the most part?
I think
mostly.
Yeah, well, they're usually used for both, but I think they come out more in the aroma, being citrusy and floral, and
that distinct kind of grapefruit smell, which I absolutely love. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, for me, it definitely the Cascade is definitely top on my list. Centennial has that
kind of flowery.
Well, that's a great
citrusy.
That's a great combination. Is use Cascade and Centennial together.
Yeah. It's kind of like the three
it's kind of like peanut butter and chocolate. Yeah. Like once you get those two together, it's very nice.
The noble hops are good as well. Yeah, but Cascade and Centennial are sort of, you know.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we love
it
our
sounds
hops.
Kind of
we
cheating just to go with the ones that, yeah, like you know, that he said, but that's really, you know.
Well,
I think for most American sort of IPA hophead
people, heads, I was going to say,
you're going to find that they tend to veer towards the Cascade and the Centennial, the more citrusy style of hop.
I tried that Glacier too that one time. That was like just a single hop, that Glacier hop, wet hop ale, and that
I
was
had
very.
That. Did I tell you I had that?
No.
Yeah, no. I actually found a bottle of that. That was the Harpoon.
Yep, Harpoon.
Harpoon.
Yeah, Harpoon's 100 Barrel Series. They did the Glacier Wet Hop Harvest.
And, but that's not something you can probably go buy in your local, you know.
No, it was really. I mean, I just happened to. I just happened upon it in a liquor store that I went to. So, but yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, the Glacier hops is very kind of a distinct hop, and it was interesting to try kind of a single hop beer because a lot of different breweries try, you know, multiple different hops. You know, some for aroma and taste and finishing. They kind of use different hops for you know different stages of brewing. So. That was a great question, and we've never really discussed the hops before here on the show as far as like what we like. So
that
thanks again,
good,
Ty.
That was a
we
good
appreciate
bit of
it. Keep the backwash coming. We love it. I think we got a little more.
I have a little bit of backwash from Jeremy in Denver. He said February. That was my mistake, not Jeremy's.
I would not be surprised.
Shout out to San Francisco.
I would not be surprised if there was some sort of an event in San Francisco that was called February.
So he said, February is fast approaching, so once again I feel the compulsion to sing the praises of Stout Month at the Mountain Sun. If any of you are traveling through the Denver, Boulder area, you'll be doing yourself a favor to check out the Mountain Sun.
Yeah, I pass
beers.
Through there, you know, on my way to work, like every day. So,
I wish. but for any listeners that are going through that area during the month of February, the Mountain Sun pub, they make excellent beers. They just don't bottle them. So if you happen to pass through in February, well, then you hit the jackpot with Stout Month.
And then he
lists a bunch of stouts that are going to be available that month. And rather than list them all here, I'm going to post them all on the website in the show notes for this episode.
Fabulous.
I did want to mention.
What did you say?
A couple.
I said fabulous.
Fabulous.
Mention a couple that they have. They have the Nitrogen Belgian Dip Chocolate Stout, which sounds really good. And then Ty should appreciate this. The homebrew winner for this year was the a mint chocolate stout
from
Adam Ty? Boggs.
Isn't that what he was brewing last?
Yeah.
You told me he stole the recipe? The recipe wasn't his. He stole it?
Not so much.
Maybe the other guy stole it.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Stole but time. Anyway, so
steal, you can't
so
steal.
Check
from
out
Mr.
the website.
Awesome's
I'll list
brewery.
The. I'll list the beers from that he sent us that are going to be available. And
next
then
up, Chris Dave.
Yep, and then I think we said a little more backwash.
Is he drunk, darling?
I don't know. Let's listen.
Okay.
Beer coasters.
Hey, there's no internet.
This is Crazy Dave. Just want to say what up. Just want to let you guys know that I just went to got back from Yard House, and I had a couple of Stone Ruinations, and I had an Old Chub, and I had a Moose Rule. And out of the three, the Old Chub wins. Yeah, that's all I got. Bye.
Last call!
Last call!
Get the hell out of here, you little bastards!
Alright, so this is our last call segment. And what we do in our last call segment, at least the first part of it, is give our pint ratings. So, Toby, what's your pint ratings?
Da-da-da-da! My pint ratings, let's see, North Coast Old Stock, I thought it was pretty good. Mine was the 2009. I'd say give it another year and it would probably be a little bit better. I'm gonna give it a 3.5. I think it's not bad, very reminiscent of a barley wine to me. So if you're a fan of the barley wines, it wasn't as sweet and fruity as a barley wine, although when it did warm up, it did, a lot of the sweet maltiness came out. As for the Triple Exaltation from Eel River, I enjoy it a lot more. I'm going to give it a four pints. I guess it's not a lot more, but it's more than the... So I'd say a 4 pints. I ended up pouring the rest of the bottle, and I got a lot of the sediment in the bottom, and actually some chocolatiness came out in the aroma and in the flavor, so I actually enjoyed it a little more. It's a little more drinkable than the North Coast. So yeah, 4 pints out of 5.
All right. Chris, how about you?
How say you?
For my pint ratings for this week, for the Old Stock from North Coast, I think I liked it a little bit more than you did. I am a big fan of barley wines, and even though this is a little bit not quite as sweet, and that's actually what I like about it, I'm going to give it 4 pints out of 5. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good example of the old style sort of alcohol,
yeah,
prominent beers.
Yeah.
For the for my tasting flight, the Rar and Sons Winter Warmer, I liked it. It's hard because we're doing old styles, but drinking this beer started to remind me of our Christmas ales that we did. And this doesn't even come close to comparing to the Anchor or the Celebration that we did. Celebration's more of an IPA, but you get my point.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 3.5 pints. It was still a good beer. It was still drinkable. I still enjoyed it. So 3.5 pints.
Well, for me, I give the North Coast a 4.5. I think that it's a, I want to say it's a top-notch job for North Coast. I like this one. I would love to try this after it had a little time to age, but I feel that, you know, that we had that extra year to age as opposed to Toby's. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it made a difference. I don't even know. It may be a completely different recipe for all I know. The fact that there's a
even
percentage,
more alcohol, yeah,
you know, difference in alcohol, you know, maybe that makes a difference. I'm not sure. But, okay, so my pint rating for Southern Tier's Old Man Winter Ale. As it warmed up, I realized that mintiness was more of a pininess. There's a pine character to this, which makes sense where it's their winter ale. But there's some really weird, very muddled hop character to this. I can't quite discern what type of hops they've used. It, maybe just a bunch that's just kind of all muddled together. I'm giving it a 3 because I do like the beer. It just didn't quite fall into any of the categories, I guess, that it should have. Who knows, though? That may have been their intent. I'm not sure. But anyway, 3 points. It's still a decent rating for a decent beer. For individual shoutouts this week, I wanted to throw out the sourceforge.net/blog. That's where we found the Homebrewers open source software, which I thought was pretty cool. It's a little different. We don't normally do that kind of thing here in the podcast, but I thought it'd be kind of cool to check it out. Check it out. And speaking of checking us out, you can check us out on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod on Twitter. We also have individual Twitter accounts, and we are Beer Coaster Toby, B Coaster Chris, and Beer Coaster Mike. You can find us on Facebook. Search for Beer Coasters Podcast. You'll find us there. We also have individual emails. We are Chris@BeerCoastersPodcast.com, Toby@BeerCoastersPodcast.com, and Mike@BeerCoastersPodcast.com. We talked about Backwash earlier. Well, you can email us backwash@BeerCoastersPodcast.com. You can also leave audio Backwash, which is pretty cool. You can dial 972-914-8502 and leave us Backwash. Or you can click on the little Call Me button on the website. The website is BeerCoastersPodcast.com. You can actually post comments directly on the website for each episode if you want to. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes. You can search for Beer Coasters. You will find us in the iTunes store under Beer Coasters. I think that's pretty cool. You can check the website on Monday for next time on Beer Coasters. You can see what we're going to drink the following week. And you can tell your friends. And tell your friends, friends, and tell your friends, 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 and say, hey, these guys are drinking beer and they're talking about it, and it's pretty cool. Thanks for listening. Support your local brewery. Drink local because local is fresh. Don't drink and drive. If you have any comments or suggestions, or if your favorite beer or beer bar, or if you just feel like sending us beer, that's pretty cool too. Ty. That's it for this week's edition of the Beer Coasters Podcast. We want to say thanks to Ty and Jeremy and Crazy Dave, and we want to say cheers.
And get off my lawn, you little whippersnappers!
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters Podcast with us next week. Right here on Beer Coasters.
Here with a commentary is a grumpy old man. Welcome, Grumpy.
Hey, I'm old and I'm not happy. Everything today is improved and I don't like it. I hate it.
I've known a few people like that. That have been immediately stinky.
I could rub this on my thigh.